This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Pack-A-Day Radio right here on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We have a programming announcement coming up this morning at 10 AM. We're adding some more local programming to The Fan. Don't miss this news this morning at 10 o'clock on The Mason Crosby Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, and free on the Odyssey app. Joining us now on Pack-A-Day Radio, Jovan Alford from FanSided and BetSided and numerous sites. He's gonna take us through the whole resume. Jovan, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Hey, I'm glad to be on. Appreciate y'all for having me.
You bet. So first of all, tell us where we find your stuff, because I know I've got you on fansided.com and some other sites as well. Where do you focus most of your attention and energy these days?
Well, most of it is at fansided.com, so a lot of the local sites for FanSided. So obviously for Wisconsin Sports, Green Bay, Dairyland Express, and you also have Section 215 for Philadelphia. Sport DFW for Dallas. There's probably like five more other local sites. So pretty much focusing on the local sites on the FanSided network, and also TotalSportsLive.com for more Philadelphia centric. So like you said, I'm pretty much all over the place these days.
Yep, I love that, and that's the hustle, right? That's how it works these days. So thanks so much for jumping on the show with us, and I know a bunch of your stuff at DairylandExpress.com, which is some of that Packer stuff. But I actually want to start with the news from yesterday. Russell Wilson signing to go to the Giants, Stephon Diggs to the Patriots. Let's start with Russell Wilson. You're obviously an NFC East guy. You're probably still like bathed in the confetti of the Philadelphia Eagles winning the championship. It's all good. And so Russell Wilson goes to New York, and we talked about it in the first segment, like, that's fine. He's got some good receivers there, but that doesn't really move the needle for us here. Does that move the needle at all for you thinking about the New York Giants?
No, not really. If anything, it kind of surprised me because it was more so like, if Russell Wilson was your guy that you were going to give, you know, that 1 year, $20 million deal, but only obviously 10.5 is only guaranteed, then why go sign Jameis Winston too for, you know, 2 years? It just, the mentality of the Giants double dipping at veteran quarterback when obviously there's a need for that franchise to kind of press the reset button and retool and go with a more younger quarterback that's in, you know, in this draft class. So it was kind of puzzling because it didn't move the needle for me, and even within the division, because I still think the Giants are miles behind, you know, the Cowboys, the Commanders, and the Eagles. Don't know how far Russell Wilson pushes that ceiling or even the Jameis Winston. I mean, Wilson got the Steelers to the playoffs, even though they faltered down the stretch really bad.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
In Pittsburgh, and I don't know if you're the Giants, you're thinking, okay, we have Russell Wilson, we have Jameis, you know, maybe that pushes the window, the ceiling to about 7-8 wins. That still is not going to get the job done in an NFC that's getting better, you know, just across the board, and there's more talented teams than the Giants right now. So the move didn't make a ton of sense because I still think they need to obviously go and get draft a quarterback instead of trying to double dip at veteran and trying to play the retool, put a Band-Aid over it, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, Javon Alford joining us here on Packaday Radio. I agree. It's a kind of a weird situation that they brought both guys in. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers now not going to New York. We'll wait for him to either sign with Pittsburgh or go to a silent ashram in India or whatever it is Aaron Rodgers is going to do. I do want to pick at something you said, though. I agree they're miles behind Philly and Washington. I'm not a Cowboys guy. Like, I think the Cowboys are kind of a mess also. Do you think the Cowboys rebound this year? Do you think there's hope for Cowboy fan if everybody's healthy? Because I guess, you know, they were ravaged a little bit by injuries last year.
Yeah, I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you're hoping that with everyone healthy, you hope that you can get back to, you know, to the playoffs. Now, obviously, you know, you still have to figure out Micah Parsons and hand him out that big money, which you kind of shouldn't have waited a year to do, because now you have to possibly pay upwards of $40 million per year for, you know, his potential extension. But you do obviously have your core, you know, Prescott's healthy. Offensive line, you got to figure out, you know, Zach Martin, you know, hanging it up. You got to figure out what you're going to, you know, do there. And then defensively, you bring in Matt Eberflus. We all know how things ended in Chicago, you know, with him. But he's coming in to kind of change that defense. And you still got, you know, guys there defensively that can do something. It's been a weird offseason for the Cowboys. I think a lot of people expected them with so many restructures that they did for contracts and everything that they were probably going to make some type of splash, especially even at wide receiver, because you don't have no wide receiver two now opposite of CeeDee Lamb. So who's going to be that guy there for them? Running back looks really shaky.
Yes,
when
it
you
does.
Didn't re-sign Rico Dowdle, and instead you go one year deal for Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders, who I don't know that they're better than what Rico Dowdle gave you last year. So the Cowboys are in this weird spot too, where they have the pieces, but they need to fill in some of these gaps that they have on their roster.
All right. So I think we've dissected the NFC East enough. Looking at the NFC North and our Green Bay Packers, they sign Aaron Banks, they sign Nate Hobbs, but the wide receiver room remains the same. And I don't think anyone here would have wanted Stephon Diggs, but I'm guessing most people here would have wanted Davante Adams. And the fact that no wide receiver there's been no change at wide receiver at this point. What do you think of the Green Bay Packers wide receiver room right now? And do they have to make a move early in the draft or just at least at some point in the draft?
I mean, for the Packers, I thought being on this station, like I think during the playoffs, they were talking about the wide receiver position. I thought, you know, that a T. Higgins or even, you know, Hollywood Brown, a Darius Slayton, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
would be nice options, especially Slayton replace.
Yes.
You know, with Christian Watson, with the knee injury, that burner that can stretch the field.
Yes.
I thought that was a fit. But now, like you said, looking at this, looking at the receiver market, I even thought Cooper Kupp would have been a nice addition, you know, to play next to Jaden Reed. But now you look at the wide receiver market, you're left with Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson. I don't think Packers fans want no parts of that, just because
I think you're right.
Cooper didn't look well, didn't look as good, even when he got traded to Buffalo, and Buffalo didn't really have, like, top-notch wide receivers. I mean, they still had Keon Coleman and Deontay Johnson.
But still.
Fell out in a bunch of places.
Yeah, so, you know, the Packers are notorious for not taking a wide receiver in the first round. And I really don't think they're going to take a wide receiver in the first round. But kind of like from the outside looking in, is that a position of need? Would that be a position that as much as the Packers, you know, and the Packers competed with Philly in the playoffs this year. Like it was, that was a competitive game. But they need somebody to stretch the field, don't they?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think they do need someone stretchfield because you already know you have a good wide receiver in Jaden Reed, right? If Dontavian Wicks in the drops can figure itself out, right? And Romeo Doubs, you know, if he's past the concussions and he's healthy, you have a solid, you know, three base wide receivers. Now in the draft, it kind of depends on which way you want to go, right? I don't know. We probably – it's weird. It'll probably – people are wondering if Tetteroe and McMillan will fall that far to Green Bay.
Right.
That's the big target that can you just throw it up there, 50-50 huge radius. Like he'll just go up there and catch everything, which, you know, that would be a nice addition at 6'4", playing next to Jaden Reed and those guys. But maybe if he's not there, you know, does Green Bay go with a Matthew Golden out of Texas, who's, you know, 5'11", but a burner, 4.29, 40-yard dash at the combine, can play all three wide receiver positions? Or do they go with a guy like Luther Burton, another guy who has weirdly started to fall in mock drafts at a lot of places in that out of the first round, which I find strange when this guy was nothing but a playmaker and a game breaker at Missouri. You just get the ball in his hands and get him in space and he'll go. So I think if you're the Packers, I don't think you should feel the need to kind of reach if you don't feel what you like on the board, because you also still got to figure out what you're going to do at pass rusher, because I think Packers fans also wanted to see the team, you know, go out and add more to that defensive line to get pressure, you know, on the quarterback. So I think in Green Bay, you're probably thinking wide receiver, pass rusher, you know, for the draft.
Javon Alford joining us here on Packaday Radio. You nailed it, because that is the other position that Packers fans were looking at. You know, they sign Aaron Banks, they sign Nate Hobbs, they don't sign a wide receiver, and they don't sign an edge. So whether it was a linebacker or a defensive end, looking for a guy who can get after the quarterback. Rashawn Gary, inconsistent this year. Lucas Van Ness really didn't improve in the way we thought he would. And so you're right. That pass rusher, that edge, and that's the position that we keep hearing is a deep position in the draft. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a first-round guy, but that is another position that the Packers need to address, correct?
Yeah, for sure, because like you said, Rashawn Gary, very inconsistent. Like you said, Van Ness didn't take that next step. Brenton Cox was a nice surprise right towards into the second half. But again, you don't want Brenton Cox to be your number one.
Right,
number one, exactly. So I think for the Packers, right, you're looking at maybe Mike Green, but it seems like his stock is continuing to rise, especially after his pro day at Marshall. James Pierce Jr., another guy who could be in that range where the Packers are at, the edge rusher from Tennessee, who's just a playmaker and a game breaker. And then you also got to look at a Boston College guy, you know, Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. He could be very intriguing. I know, obviously, Halfley was in, you know, Boston College.
Yep.
So there's the Boston College tie right there. And you just look at what he did. I mean, granted, he's a smaller outside linebacker, about 6'2". 237, but I mean, I think he had 21 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks. I mean,
that's not
that's
bad.
Productive. That's really good.
Yeah.
Granted, like I said, the size is a little bit, you know, you're worrisome, but we see across the NFL, it doesn't matter. You just got to have guys that can get to the quarterback and get pressure. I think if that's one thing the playoffs even showed us, or what the Rams showed us with what they did in the draft, getting Jared Verse and then following it up in the next round with Brayton Fisk, you always got to have guys on that defensive line that can come in and get pressure.
Nice. Yeah. It you can never have too many of those guys, that's for sure. So quick question about what you think in Philly, what you get a feel for around the country. What are the thoughts on Jordan Love? Obviously, before the season last year, signs the big deal. Week one down in Brazil, tweaks his knee, never really is quite right. Has a nice season, has a good season, get to the playoffs, but didn't really take off the way a lot of Packers fans would have wanted in year two, and probably somewhat injury-related, maybe somewhat wide receiver room-related. What is the prevailing thought about Jordan Love and how good he is or can be?
I think everybody, like you said, especially how they finished his first year as the full-time starter, I think everybody thought they were going to take that next step, that leap with Josh Jacobs. And I think obviously the way the season started off with the injury and then the turnover concerns a little bit, but I think with like an interception in like eight straight games at the first half of the season. But then I think in the second half, that's when I think I was like, okay, I think the old Jordan Love is starting to come back, because now he's not turning the ball over and they're starting to move the ball. So I think people are kind of like almost like someone like CJ Stroud, right? Where everybody was very high on Stroud his first year as a starter, but then came back down to earth. So everybody's questioning and wondering, okay, was Jordan Love's first year the real him, or was it what we saw this year? And I feel like Jordan Love's a very good quarterback. I think what we saw from year one, I think that's the guy that can consistently do it. It just matter of the fact of you got to have wide receivers healthy, right? I do like the addition this year of how they got Tucker Kraft more involved in the offense. I think that helped unlock them. And then when you have a guy like Josh Jacobs in the backfield, that just lessens the pressure on them. So I think people are kind of wondering, probably more mysterious of just, okay, who is this guy? What can we expect now in year three as a full-time starter, building off of what we saw from him his first 2 years?
Javon Alford, fan-sided at Dairyland Express, joining us here on Packaday Radio. And from one quarterback to another, it seems like the only option is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Does Aaron Rodgers play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season?
I mean, it's the best shot he got, because I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go to Cleveland. So I got to think Pittsburgh is the spot. And I think, for the Steelers, you go out and trade for DK Metcalf to pair with George Pickens. I don't think you want to run that back in what you have with that core, even on defense. I don't think you want to run it back with, a guy with, Mason Rudolph or rookie quarterback. I don't think you want to do that. So it just seems like you said, all ducks in a row, maybe point to, Aaron Rodgers being that guy. I mean, it would make the Steelers competitive. It would put them in that playoff playoff conversation, which they were in last year with Russell Wilson. Maybe elevates them to an 11-win team, 12 maybe, because Rodgers put up stats last year with the Jets. I think he had 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, but it didn't equal to a lot of wins.
No,
with
it
New
did
York,
not.
I think it was like only 5. So.
No, it did not. That is correct.
This is his best shot. I mean, because like I said, he's not going to Cleveland. Nobody knows what Cleveland is going to do, because Kirk Cousins is still in Atlanta, but maybe Kirk Cousins eventually ends up in Cleveland. Who knows? So Pittsburgh gets his best opportunity, because there's nowhere else for for him to go.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it looks like. I guess with Aaron Rodgers, he's a wild card. You never know. I mean, he could walk away. We don't think he'll walk away. I know that we make a big deal on our show about how career-wise, he's only 6 touchdowns behind Brett Favre all time, and he wants to pass Brett Favre. So he's going to play at least one more year.
Oh, yeah, you got to think so. And I think, he wants to. He doesn't want to go out the way of only winning 5 games, right? You want to go out being, competitive in the heat of the competition and, to run in to compete you know, for a Super Bowl. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because I know the Vikings was also floated out there as an option, you know, in the rumor mill, but they yep. have J.J. McCarthy, and that would obviously complete the full Brett Favre arc, right? Playing for the Jets, the Packers, and the Vikings. But
ridiculous.
So I don't see Minnesota happening. So it has to be Pittsburgh, right? It just has to be that organization. They have their stuff together. Obviously, same thing with Minnesota, but there's no Aaron Parent waiting in Pittsburgh, and with DK Metcalf, with George Pickens, with what they have on defense with Hayward and, you know, and Watt, like, this might be the time, especially in that division where Pittsburgh might say, hey, let's try Aaron Rodgers for a year, see what happens, and then maybe later in the draft we draft our future quarterback, or maybe we wait next year, you know, to get that quarterback.
Absolutely. Javon, what are you working on right now?
Pretty much quiet around the NFL. NFL right now, we're in week three of free agency, but, you know, same thing, staying up on, you know, the latest free agency moves, you know, with all the teams across the league. Obviously, we have baseball starting up soon too.
Yeah.
In the day. So that's going to be, you know, fun to see how all these teams across the majors do it. So pretty much those are the things. And we got spring football coming up. So that should be fun as well.
We won't talk about Paul George and Joel Embiid. Okay. Just like we won't talk about Dame Lillard right now either.
No, we don't need to talk about the Sixers. They're trying to tank respectfully. So
yeah, I hear you. All right, Javon, thank you so much for jumping on today, and we'll definitely catch up with you down the road.
Hey, for sure. Appreciate y'all for having me.
You bet. Take care. That's Javon Alford. Catch his stuff at FanSided. Catch his stuff at Dairyland Express. Great NFL content out there. Great to catch up with him. When we come back, we will do our final thoughts? Is that what it is, Tommy?
Yes.
Yeah, final thoughts and do a little crosstalk with that Mason guy, right? Mason Crosby?
I've heard yourself. Of him. Yeah, and
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to crosstalk myself, right? Right, we'll see how that works. Thanks again to Javon Alford for jumping on Packaday Radio right here on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our studio is powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.